Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by BetterHelp. Check out this awesome offer for you guys, listeners of Real Ghost Stories Online. Get 10% off your first month. Visit betterhelp.com/ghoststories. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, can a spirit show up on a photo after it was taken? That's a question we ask today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to support the show, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person. Two ways to do that, ghostpodcast.com. Or if you like Patreon, a lot of folks on there now to support programs. You can go through Patreon, same content both places, $5 a month. Or you can do the yearly option now on both platforms. Both Patreon and ghostpodcast.com have yearly options for you. If you do that, you get 1 month free. And you also get the ebook, the audio book, all the advanced content, all the archive of content, all sorts of great stuff, but save a little bit of money if you want to go for the yearly route. Just as of literally the recording today on August 18th, Patreon now offering annual membership. So if you're already there, you want to save a little bit, you can do that and sign up for an annual membership. We greatly appreciate that support and helping to keep us on the air today. It's Tony and Carol Hughes joining you for Real Ghost Stories Online. How are you, Carol?
Well, I'm good.
That's good.
So here I was waiting for you to call. We always have a set time we do this. So I texted Tony. I'm like, what's up? Like, are we doing this tonight? And Tony texts me back and he's like, I'm putting out fires. And I'm like, literally, you're putting out, you were literally putting out fires.
I'm on a farm and I'm literally putting out fires now.
When you sent me back that text, I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, putting out fires. Oh, you're literally putting out a fire.
And it's not like it was out of control or like not expected. I had a bunch of brush to burn. So I started that about 2 hours ago. And I just, number one, I don't know what day it is anymore because I've lost track of days because I just do the same stuff every day. And I completely lost track of time. I knew we were recording tonight, but then I thought it was like only seven. So, but
that's the first time in my life that anyone's ever used that excuse with me, and it was literally what they were doing.
Yeah, because it normally means like you're trying to fix problems with people and shit that's going down. But no, I was literally a bonfire.
Literally putting out a fire.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. So I don't know the last time I had a bonfire. It's probably been 15 years at least. But it was like, this is great. And all the space, and I'm not worried about it like catching my house on fire or anything, and just out in the field and... it was kind of fun. I'm like, I remember going to this and doing this stuff as a kid and loving it. And yeah, I think I'm going to enjoy more of that as fall comes around. We'd always burn leaves and things like that. It was always one of those things that really kind of got you into the fall mood, was having fires and stuff outside. And I picked my pumpkins as well. My pumpkin plant, the vines kind of died or bugs got them, but got four pumpkins out of it. They're on our fireplace, on our hearth. And so we're ready for fall.
Oh, Farmer Tony.
Farmer Tony. And I have a dairy cow coming, a Jersey cow coming on Thursday.
That's the crazy part.
Yep. I'm going to start milking and making cheese as well. So we've, you know, we pretty much since the pandemic started said, you know what? We're going to become self-sufficient, and we're not like hoarders or preppers or anything like that. We're kind of doing the homesteading thing and trying to be as self-sufficient as possible.
And we're basic pioneer types.
Yeah. You know, we're wearing pioneer clothing now too. Every day we look like the kind of like the coloring books where you draw the pilgrims and color in their stuff. We are wearing pilgrim attire every day. People mistake us for Quakers when we go to Walmart, but you know, we're not. We're just pilgrims. And we refer to ourselves as modern pilgrims. So,
I'm sorry.
I don't know. I don't know the hell.
I saw you and Jen and Harper at. I had a vision of you guys like all dressed up like in your Thanksgiving original costumes.
Yep. It's just everyday attire now. It's how we roll in 2020.
Please post some pictures.
Because it's 2020 and anything is possible. 855-853-4802. Our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would absolutely love to hear them. Or you can write it at realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go to our first letter. It says, can I start off by saying thank you for your podcasts? I've only discovered them very recently whilst taking long early morning walks in solitude during COVID-19 lockdowns. I have two children, ages 2 and 4, so my morning walks are keeping me sane right now. They keep me entertained along the way, and as one of my routes takes me through a medieval church graveyard that have added to the atmosphere. I'm writing to you from England, specifically Milton Keynes, and I may have slaughtered the name of that town, I apologize, which was about an hour north of London. And my story takes place nearly 30 years ago when I was just 9 years old. It was my last year of primary school. I don't know the American equivalent in the UK. You either attend third tier or second tier systems depending on the area you live. I grew up in a three tier system where you leave primary school at 9 years old and middle school at 12 before completing formal education in a secondary or upper school. In that final year, we went on a class trip in the summer to an old Norman fort and castle called Mount Fidget Castle in Essex, near London. The trip itself was uneventful. I have a few very faded memories of being on the couch and running up and down the large grass mounds, but little else from the day. I had taken many photographs from the trip, which would likely have remained in albums had it not been for the fact that it was my last year and my first school and a significant moment in my young life. So some of the photographs of my friends on this trip were displayed on a cork pinboard in my bedroom. In the beginning of the early 1990s, the photographs were taken and developed in the old-fashioned format. The camera roll needed to be finished before being taken to a shop to be developed and then printed over a week-long period. Yes, kids, that's how we used to do photos. In this day and age, I would imagine any abnormalities in the images would have been picked up on instantly, but owing to the times and possibly my age, one particular image of my friend was pinned on a board for about a year without me ever noticing an extremely strange addition. I remember one evening, the image just catching my attention. I don't know why that is creepy that I could not see until that very moment. In the center of this photo stood a friend of mine, Laura, bookended by two other friends. If you look past Laura, the image is completely normal. Three smiling young friends all hugging each other as they pose for a photograph taken by me, but look closely at Laura in the center and it all gets very creepy. Laura is noticeably grimacing in pain. Her teeth are gritted and there are tears in her eyes. Her knuckle is white as she clutches a keyring at the bottom of the image. Over Laura's right shoulder is a hand. The hand is old and visibly disfigured, possibly with arthritis. It appears to be digging its fingers into the fleshy part of the shoulder, between the shoulder and the collarbone. The hand appears to be coming from behind Laura, yet nothing else is visible of the person, just this hand. It's clearly causing Laura a great deal of pain. So why do her friends all seem oblivious to this? Perhaps they had not noticed? One friend, Christine, is looking directly at her. Surely she would have noticed her friend's pain. Perhaps the image captured the moment just before they all noticed. However, I took a photograph, and I had absolutely no memory of whatsoever of my friend being in distress. And as this event had only happened the previous year and memories were fresh, it would have been something you'd remember. I took a photograph to school the next day, to my middle school. It just so happened that all the girls in the picture had moved to the same school with me. I showed them the image. They were shocked, particularly Laura, who was the focus on the image. But not one of them could recall the event. Not one could remember the picture being taken. Laura being in pain, nobody could work out who this hand belonged to. The hand was old, so it was not a student. Besides, the jumper of the hand is blue, and we all had red uniforms. Couldn't have been a teacher, as the hand was visibly deformed, and we all commented that we would have noticed this kind of deformity in our teachers or support staff, as children often do. And if a teacher had grabbed Laura in such a manner, we would have remembered it. The picture depicts somebody being physically assaulted, which is something that surely one of the four of us would have remembered, particularly the victim herself, but we could not recall anything. No one could recall the event, the picture being taken, or the owner of the hand. My dad worked for the council and was based in an office in a large event space, which had since been demolished. One of the regular annual events held there was a psychic fair, and my dad decided to take along the photograph to see if anyone could shed some light. He showed the picture to a couple of psychics that day, and they all confirmed that the hand belonged to an old woman who had an unpleasant streak. They felt great resentment and bitterness from her and stated that she was not a nice woman. She was stern, angry, and not to be messed with. That's all I know about the mystery hand. I trained to be an English and drama teacher in my mid-20s, and this picture proved to be a great stimulus for original writing. After students had created a story around the image, I would tell them the original version just to spook them. I've always wondered what that woman wanted with my friend. Was it personal to Laura, or was it just the wrong place at the wrong time? Was she trying to make her presence felt? Most of all, why can none of us remember the photograph being taken? I'm still friends with one of the girls in the image, Christy, and we still talk about it to this day, hoping that one of us will trigger a buried memory of the other to unravel the mystery, but we never succeed. I plan to revisit Mount Fidget Castle one day if lockdown ever ends. It's not that far away, and I'd be interested in finding out if the old lady reappears to say an unfriendly hello again. And if I manage to capture it this time, then and there, rather than a month later when the film has been developed. I've attached a copy of the photograph taken from the original. The quality is not great, but hopefully you see everything you need to. Thanks for reading and keeping me entertained during my long walks. Kelly. Back to the ghost stories in just a moment. First, I want to thank our supporter today, BetterHelp. It's obviously not an easy time in our world right now. So if there's something interfering with your happiness, chances are there probably is, or preventing you from achieving your goals, no matter what they may be, whether it's personal or just the overall circumstances of where we are at right now, BetterHelp is here to kind of help you navigate all this and help you figure out, you know, how do you cope? How do you deal with everything from a mental health standpoint? It's so important. Mental health is not... you know, just something to blow off. If not, in my opinion, it's even more important than physical health, than going to the gym, because you almost need that good mental health to get to part two with the physical help. You can start communicating with the folks at BetterHelp in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. Broad range of expertise available, which may not be available to you locally. If you've ever looked into that and gone, I'm looking for someone to talk to about this, they're like, well, that one's not covered by your insurance, or it's 80 miles away, because I've done that before. You don't have to worry about that with BetterHelp. It's available to you worldwide. You can log into your account anytime, anywhere, and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room with traditional therapy. Yeah. So you can still have that one-on-one face-to-face communication virtually. I love it. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if need be. Because, you know, let's face it, not every, you know, match is perfect. They'll make sure that they get you to the right one. More affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. So do I. Visit their website and read their testimonials. They're posted all over at BetterHelp. I mean, here's just an example of one that I'm reading right now. Joni has been an amazing help to me. I cannot have gotten through the last few months without her. This one, Tracy keeps control of the meeting, is respectful, gives us guidance. Another one, great listener, takes time to listen and understand the problem and then help you. Sense of humor is a big plus too. Check it out for yourself. So many people using BetterHelp and having great results. They're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states as well. Got a great offer for you right now. If you're a listener of the show, get 10% off your first month. Go to betterhelp.com/ghost stories. That's betterhelp.com/ghost stories. BetterHelp. betterhelp.com/ghost stories. I don't think I have the photo readily available, but I'll take a look. What's your thoughts?
You know, it's hard to tell. I mean, because we've all been in a million pictures and you don't remember every picture you've been in.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that...
Oh, that's a creepy photo.
I don't want to see it right now because, you know, then I'll never sleep tonight.
Yeah.
But the fact that they don't remember the picture, I don't think is as strange as the picture itself.
Yeah.
Like, the picture caught this really bizarro moment. And, like, you see, like, this weathered, creepy hand. And, like, that's creepy to me.
It is not the hand of the girls that are there. There's two girls. This one is in the middle. And the hand around her, it is not. Because, I mean, the girls are, like, 10, 11, 12, somewhere in that range. And this is clearly the hand of an older individual.
Can you post it, like, or send it tomorrow? But can you post it on the Facebook page or something?
Yeah, I could probably do. Well, I'll have to ask permission. I don't know if they want it posted, but
yeah,
I'm going to send it to you right now on your phone.
No. Never sleep. I won't look at it.
Okay.
Because it's creepy to me.
It is. It's really weird. And it's a good photo. So I just sent it to you. Yeah, this is one if I do another episode of Seeing Ghosts sometimes in the future, I will definitely use this one because and she's in distress. It's like, why, you know, it looks like there's a hand kind of pulling her back. It is bizarre. Are you looking at it yet?
I don't have it yet.
Okay.
Which is bizarre.
Maybe the old woman doesn't want you to have it yet.
Maybe. She's like, well, I'd like for her to sleep tonight.
Said it sent.
I'd rather not keep her up all night.
I sent it to you on your phone, on a text message.
Yeah, and maybe she only likes to scare small children.
Yeah. She's not trying to scare you.
And you know, I mean, I could see like a picture being taken at a moment where you're like, ow, what was that?
Yeah.
That weird things happen to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I still haven't gotten it yet. So, but then to actually see it mm-hmm. in a picture, it's creepy.
It's bizarre. What came to mind when I, you know, was kind of reading over the story a little bit initially, I didn't hear the whole thing, but I just heard about, you know, something showing up in a picture or being seen in a picture, a great deal of time later. I was thinking of Back to the Future where, you know, the people kind of disappear and all that. But this is interesting. The fact that she didn't, it's so evident. This photo really is where I don't know why, you wouldn't have noticed it when you first put the picture up, when you get your film developed and you go through your pictures and.
Did you send it to like Carol Burnett or somebody like
that? No, I literally, it's in the same string of texts from. When you texted me earlier tonight,
literally putting out fires.
When I was putting out fires, yep.
Yeah, I have not gotten it.
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, great. Now you know what's gonna happen.
3 a.m. Ding.
You're gonna get a cut. Straight up, 3 a.m. is gonna be this creepy picture, which is the time my dog likes to get up nowadays.
Yep.
And it'll happen at the exact same moment.
That's what you have to look forward to later tonight.
Yes, I still don't have it.
You're welcome.
We'll see if it comes through by the end of this podcast.
Yeah, I'm wondering why it's not. That's weird. I'll try and send it through Facebook here in a moment during the next story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Bring up Facebook and I'll send it to you there and I'll get your thought on it after. Here is another caller. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hello. I heard you guys on the podcast. Funny enough, while I was having in the shower and I was like, well, I've never told my story, so let me just give it a shot. So my name is Mario. I live in Joliet, Illinois. For as long as I can remember, I've always had paranormal things happen to me. I've always been very open-minded with just the whole world in general, but this story takes place. This story that I have really, really many of them, but this one particular is when it kicked off a lot of stuff. The year was 2015. It was on a Tuesday morning, and I had braces. I remember that day because I went late for, I was a senior in high school, and I was going in late for an appointment for my orthodontist. And I woke up with the sound of my little brother slamming the door in the front, which indicated that I'm the only one in the house because all my other family, they go to work at 5 or 6. So the minute I hear a door slam, that's my brother going to junior high and getting ready to go on the bus. So at that time, we just, my cousin gave us a dog that they brought from California. And it was, you know, adjusting to the house. So it was kind of wild at first, but it started getting tamed the minute we started giving the dog love. I was still not connecting with the dog yet. It was still like an animal to me. I didn't have that dog affection yet until this story. So I woke up and I got up. I went to the bathroom. It was a normal day. And I came back to my bathroom. The bathroom was right next to me. And I closed the door, but it was like a little tiny gap that was just split open. And I just, you know, went back to bed. And I laid for a couple of minutes just to get my morning ready. And I was just thinking to myself, all right, you know, let me rest for a bit and then I'll get ready to go to my appointment. And then all of a sudden, like I heard like pipes. It's just, it's like a whole bunch of pipes on the in the basement, as if they fell. And I questioned it, but then I was like, you know what, this house when I looked up this house, it said it was built in the 1900s. So I was like, it's an old house, whatever, you know. And the more I thought about it, I was like, well, we really don't have any pipes in the basement, but whatever, you know. I was like, okay, whatever. So As I'm just laying down on my back, I hear from my brother's room, my little one, the one that just left, his bed is springy. So you hear somebody, like as if somebody was, if somebody wanted to sit down or get up, you hear the spring like making noise. So I heard somebody lifting, getting up from his bed. Like I heard that, like the whole creak and everything. And when I heard it loud and clear, I stood up. I was sitting up on my bed. And in that second, I felt this huge ball of cold, freezing air just perfect, like slowly hovered from my head all the way down to my chest, to my whole body. The second I felt that ice cold bubble, all of my hairs went up. I had goosebumps, I had chills. And the only thing I could think about was fear. That's the only emotions I had, was fear, fear, fear. And I was just feeling ice cold. And I'll never forget, it was as if I was hearing everything crystal clear in my ears, and I heard two thumps. It went boom, boom, as if someone just got up from my brother's bed. And I hear a doom, doom, like some heavy boots, but it sounded like the hooves of an animal. And I thought I was going crazy, but I remember I was just frozen. I was ice cold, and I was just thinking like, wow, like, I wasn't thinking. That was the thing. It was just straight fear, as if all my fear was whatever it was, I felt like it was eating off my fear. And in that instant, I heard my dog in the couch that was sleeping. I heard him growling. And mind you, I've never heard him growl before. And he started growling. It went like, it was a low growl. And it started escalating louder and louder the more I heard the footsteps coming out from my brother's room and into the kitchen. Now, when you enter the kitchen, if you pass up the stove rattles. And guess what? The stove was rattling. And I just remember, I can't even explain to you guys, but when I'm telling you, it was ice cold that I was feeling. Like, it was just crazy. And I was just so scared. And I heard my dog, he's a little dog too, he jumped out of the couch and he ran straight in front of my door. He started guarding it. He started barking and growling, and whatever it was coming head on to him. And you just heard from my dog, like the drool coming out. He was just angry. He was protecting my door. He was protecting me, and I had no idea. I thought it was an intruder, but I knew it was more than that. And whatever it was stopped right in front of my dog, and I heard it turn around, and I heard it stomping back slowly back into my brother's room as my dog started following me from behind. And it got to the room, and my dog, it's silence. It was just complete silence. And when I heard that silence, that bubble of air that fell on me, I felt it slowly go back up, and my whole body was defrosting, and I finally could catch my breath and my thoughts. And I eventually got up. I had the courage to get up. It took me a while, I'm not gonna lie. And I opened up the door fast, like what they do in movies, and I poked my head out, and I was like, oh my God, I have to see my dog, because I'm like thinking he's already dead right now. I'm like, oh my God, like whatever it was, it killed my dog. And I like went from my room to the kitchen, and I poked my head out, looking down at my brother's room. His door was open halfway, and I saw my dog in the middle of the room looking up as if someone is standing right in front of him. But I couldn't see who it was because the door, you know, was open halfway. I just saw my dog's, body staring up, and whatever it was behind the door. And I remember I yelled at him. I said, Shaggy, and he snapped out of it. And he looked at me, and I was like, come over here. And he runs to me. And he runs to me, and he starts whimpering. And I picked him up, and I went straight into the room, my brother's room. I kicked that door open, and there was nothing there. I looked everywhere. The windows were closed, untouched. There's no bathroom there. I looked under the bed. I looked in the closet. Nothing. No signs of nobody. So after that, we went to the couch, and I set him on the couch, and he just jumped off. He was just guarding. He just got in front of me and was staring down at the kitchen once I made it to the living room. He was just guarding it, and he just, as if he knew something still was there. And I was scared because for as long as I could remember, I've always had paranormal things happen to me, but this one kicked off many more stories to come. This was just one out of many. I do believe in, you know, the whole paranormal world. I've seen it. I felt it. I dream about it. I know when someone's there. I know when someone's not. I don't know. I thought I was going crazy. You know, my whole family wanted me to go to a psychiatric, because I don't think you guys understand. Like, I'm a funny guy. I'm a normal guy. However, when it does come to paranormal things, I tend to pick up, you know, stuff, emotions, feelings. There's some that have, I mean, I could go on. I have so many stories. I just don't know if you guys have the time for me, or maybe one day you guys will give me a call and I will call and give you guys more stories. But this story kicked off many, many, many more paranormal things in this house. I ended up buying a spirit box. But, you know, that's for another story if you guys want to hear it. but I do love the paranormal as well. However, I sage, you know, I do believe that there are good spirits and there are good in the world. I've seen it. You know, that's why I know. I've seen them in my dreams. I'm 24 years old now. It doesn't scare me. One thing that I learned now, dealing with this, because it's still ongoing, is I cannot fear. You can't fear this. You have to really believe that they're, you have, I mean, you know, I mean, I don't, depends on your religion, you know. I'm a Catholic, but I am very, I like Christian. Even though they're the same, you know, but it's just little tiny slight differences. However, I don't fear it at all. I get curious. I think that's why I'm a curious guy, and I've definitely ran into a lot of paranormal dark stuff. But as much as I've seen, you know, those type of negative stuff, I've also seen positive stuff. So I don't know what you want to call me. I don't know what I did exactly, but since I can remember, I've always had, and I've always seen and hear or heard ghosts, if that's what you guys want to call it, spirits or whatever. But yeah, let me know if you guys want to hear more. I'll be glad to talk about it. And yeah.
Well, the answer is yes. We definitely do want to hear more from you. So please do share those stories kind of individually on calls. He's very empathic, obviously, and probably has the abilities to sense things. He's higher on that scale of empath where he's leading a haunted life, essentially, because of the sensitivity that he has.
Yeah, like I am so wrapped up in his story that it's really quiet in my house and the air conditioner kicked on and it scared the shit out of me. I was like, oh my God. I was so wrapped up in that. But that's interesting that it sounds like that's when it all kicked off for him.
It is. I mean, it sounds like it's something that will... I would. The only thing I would say to him, I know he says, I'm not scared of this. And that's, you know, that's good. And it can be bad, too. I think you should you can go into this and not be scared, but go into it with respect when you're trying to. And it sounds like he is. But you have to be cognizant of the doors that you're opening when you're doing things like the spirit box or whatnot. Because while, you know, his luck has been, you know, it hasn't been a horrible demon that's followed him around for years. That's not to say that couldn't start at any given point either if he's already that open to this. But then at the same time, also actively trying to communicate with them through some sort of a device. So I guess just tread lightly, be careful with what you're doing, and understand, you know, the powers of the abilities that you have, that, you know, how it you know, it certainly can attract good and it can attract bad. But so far, he's seen kind of, you know, the middle of the road, good and bad. It can go into a dark tunnel very quickly. That would be my thoughts.
It didn't sound very pleasant. Like, that wasn't the spirit of that maternal grandmother all loved so much. You know? That was scary.
Yeah, there was something, and it can get, I think, much, much darker than that. And that's where it's like, caution, you know, just be careful. But I would love... Go ahead.
Dark. That's just scary.
Yeah, it is. It's just a very, you know, that when you got that skill, just be careful. So did you get the picture?
I never did get the text, but I got the picture through Facebook.
And
yes, it is creepy.
Is it going to haunt your dreams?
I'm kind of glad that I saw it now that I never got the text. And now that I'm thinking, yeah, I really am going to get it 3 a.m. So now I'll be ready for it if it comes through at 3 a.m.
You can text me at 3 a.m. back and let me know you got the text.
I saw this. Yeah, it's creepy because it's just a picture of three young girls. It's
like tweens.
Yeah, I'd say they look like they're 10, 12-ish.
Yeah.
Maybe 10-ish.
And it's just your average late 90s. It looks like photos because she's about my age from what she told me. You know, and it looks like any photo that any girl at that age would have had on their wall taken on a, you know, like a disposable camera that you'd go and get, you know, developed. And, you know, I remember those. And except her friend in the middle has a look of horror on her face and there's this unexplained hand. But the two other girls seem oblivious to it. And
yeah.
It's odd. It is certainly odd, and you gotta get a creepy vibe out of it. So
yeah,
thank you for sharing that. I one of the things I wanted to say is I absolutely love to hear when people are telling us where they're listening and how they're listening. And it's so interesting to me, and it still blows my mind that I'm sitting here in Arkansas, you're over there in Wichita, and we have somebody walking through a medieval cemetery in England listening to us in the early morning hours while she's just trying to get a little bit of sanity during the COVID-19 pandemic. It's just amazing to me that this is how we can do things now. And nothing to do with COVID, but just the fact, I mean, I think the first time it really sunk in of like, holy shit, like people are listening to this all over the world was early on in the show when I got a letter from, it's a letter or a call, I don't recall, but the message was, I'm listening to you. I paint castles, interiors of castles. Because in the States, that's not a, nobody's painting castles. No. Maybe big mansions, but not castles. And they were in Scotland or Ireland. And they were like, no, I'm literally in a 15 something castle, and the owner has hired me to paint. It's what I do. And I'm up on a scaffolding right now, and I'm loving listening to your ghost stories because I'm painting a haunted castle in Ireland. Just like, this is crazy. Amazing. I think that's what really kind of had me right then and there going, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. Because it's just so fun and amazing to hear from you guys out there. Thank you so much for sharing those stories on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, we always love to hear from you. And if you can support the program, I know times are tough right now, but that is what keeps us on the air. And if you want all those bonus episodes, we try to really make it worth your while. We give you a bonus episode every single week, brand new one, access to our archive of more than 300 plus bonus episodes. You get the advanced episodes of the show. You get our ebook, which is an Amazon bestseller. You get our audiobook, another Audible bestseller, and you get all that when you become an EPP Extra Podcast person. You can sign up over at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Month to month at $5 a month, or save yourself and get 1 month free and sign up for an annual membership on either platform now. Yeah, not bad. Check it out. Until next time, for all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.